Okay, good evening, second time. Ve'ata tetzave...
What?
Ve'ata
tetzave et bnei Yisrael.
Ve'ata tetzave...
Look at that.
It's a good sign. We're talking about weddings and breaking, so everything is okay.
In a chair.
On a chair. Maybe tomorrow I have business.
Actually, how is business wise? This is going to affect you tremendously.
It's affect everybody. I'm not the only one.
Well, he's just smiling.
Baruch Hashem.
I call me Shasham.
See, it's funny. Everything is from God. You know, God arranged things. Now, I went to Poland. I've never even thought in my
life
that I'm going to go to a furniture exhibition in Poland.
Amazing.
I wouldn't even think about it. But then, you know, this thing with China happened. And a month ago, when I've been in Germany in the exhibition, somebody from Antwerp told me, you know, I'm not going to Köln anymore. I'm going to Poznan in Poland. I said, what? Yes, there is a furniture exhibition there. He says, you know, okay, interesting. Then, like, with all everything happening with China, I ordered tickets. We went to the exhibition in Poland. And first of all, it was unbelievable because I really thought that I'm going to see this terrible place like you see in the films. It's very sophisticated. It's a lot of malls, by the way. I'm sure that most of them are built by Israelis, whatever. Super fun, by the way, every corner. And what I found out, I will talk about it in a minute, it's something also very interesting, but I found there are a few interesting firms that I can work with on furniture. But yes, but they are so, in other words, now you never know. Anyway, we are in our parsha and we'll come back to Poland in a minute. V'ata tetzaveh. What is v'ata tetzaveh? And you will order. So first of all, as always we come to this parsha, we have to remind ourselves, who is V'ata Tetzaveh?
Moshe.
How do we know it's Moshe?
It's a continuation.
Who else did he talk to?
Because it started A.
Yeah, but look in Perek Chafchet. It's so clear that there's no doubt about it. Perek Chafchet Pasuk Aleph. What is written?
Perek what?
Like a few psukim later. Chafchet Aleph. No, who is the brother? Who is the brother? So Vata must be Moshe Rabbeinu. And now you can go on through the parsha and you will find out that Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned this parsha even once. Yeah. And that's the only parsha from the minute that we make acquaintance with Moshe Rabbeinu that is not written. The only parsha. Why?
You want an answer?
Yes, you can answer. Yes.
Because he say, if you destroy Am Israel, you can
mark me out of the book. And this is a big lesson. Kilelat tzadik afilo al tnai mitkayemet. Even though that God, thank God, didn't destroy us, so it's no problem. But because he said what he said, something had to happen. And it happened in our parsha. Now, why dafka in our parsha? That's another question. Yeah. Because in our parsha, he also gives the priesthood to his brother. And he was supposed
to be
the priest, the Kohen. But because he had this argument with Kodesh Baruch Hu for a whole week, when Kodesh Baruch Hu told him, I want you to take Am Yisrael out of Egypt, and he says, no, I don't want to, I'm this, send my brother, says, okay, this is the case, no problem, you're going to pay for it. And in our parsha, he's paying for it. So, in the same parsha that he's already paying, giving the job of being a priest, being a Kohen Gadol to his brother, in the same parsha is also not mentioned. But there is more in it. This parsha always falls on the week of Zayin Ba'adar, which is the birth day and the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died.
Yeah,
it's your time. It's Zayin Ba'adar. This week, it was
yesterday.
So, but, you know, people are asking, 1 minute, that's not very clear, because in the beginning, when they used to read the parsha in the Shabbos, they used to read it in 3 years.
Yeah.
So, it couldn't fall in the same time. But Even though when our sages decided to organize it this way, they organized it this way, so it falls on Zayin Ba'adar. So we have everything connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, another important thing is Purim. What did Haman Rasha do? He made like a lottery, and it fall on Adar, and he was very happy because in Zayin Ba'Adar Moshe Rabbeinu died. So that's a bad sign for Am Yisrael. Mm-hmm. What he didn't understand that it's not only his yahrzeit, it's also his birthday. So anyway, everything is connected to this parsha with Moshe Rabbeinu, and the most important thing is that Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the day, is a human being. And not a human being, and not like flesh and blood, not like with the Goyim, that they make holidays when the prophet was born, when the prophet was died, when the prophet walked from one point to the other point. You have Knesiyat HaMolad, you have the Knesiyat, you have the Via della Rosa, you have all those. Everything is connected not to God, but to the prophet. In our religion, the prophet is just another man. Important as he is not God. And we don't worship him, we worship only God. And that's why in our parsha, which is so clear that we're talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, which is on the birthday of Moshe Rabbeinu, he is not even mentioned to tell us that we worship only God. And then, what is Ve'atat Tzaveh? You can write Tzav, order the children of Israel, and they will take the oil to you. Why do we need to use, and you will order?
Future.
What is Ve'ata? No, what is the word Ve'ata? We don't need it. We can say Tzav et Bnei Israel. By the way, you have Parashat Tzav, that's exactly what's written.
Yeah.
Tzav et Bnei Israel. So, and also Ve'ata Akrev, Akrev Elecha. You don't need the Ve'ata. You don't need you. What is this you doing here? And this is a big lesson for each one of us, because it's really talking ve'ata, ve'ata, ve'ata. It's talking to us. So ve'ata tetzaveh, it's not that God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu and that's it. It's telling each one of us that we have the duty to order ourselves, our family, our congregation, whoever we can influence, to have this thing on us. Ve'ata akrev, ve'ata tetzaveh. And what we're talking here about, the oil that is being used to light the menorah, which is also very strange, because we didn't finish the job. We are still in the middle of building the Mishkan, and the clothes of the Kohanim, and then we have another altar in the end. So it was very logical to put the oil to light the menorah at the end of everything and not in the middle. Why is it in the middle?
They had to make it.
What?
The oil
there. They had to make everything.
Yeah, so
this is just to giving orders.
To prepare.
It's not yet being made. It's ve'atat tetzaveh, when you will make and you will then. Then, when we get to you can see it in the end of the in the maftir. The maftir is written, Be'alot Aaron et hanerot ben ha'arba'im yaktirena. Be'alot Aaron et hanerot. That's where you're supposed to have all the details of the oil. Not here, not in the beginning of the parsha. Yeah. At the end of the parsha. Because in the end of the parsha, we are talking about lighting the candles.
Yeah. So why?
And also, we're talking here about Shemen Zayit Zach Katit Lama'or, the purest oil, which is only made from the first drop. So you can imagine to yourself how many olives they needed in order to make the oil for the menorah.
Yeah.
And the question is, why do we need only the first drop? While for all the other things, or the second and the third are also okay. But for the menorah, lighting the menorah, only the first drop. Because what is the menorah? The menorah is really the vessel to light the light of the Torah. אור התורה. ליהודים הייתה אורה ושמחה, is written in the, in the, in the מגילה. מגילה. And what is אורה, they say? תורה. What is the joy of a Jew? The Torah. And the whole world is built on this Torah. So in order to pass the message of Am Israel, the light of the Torah, the light of life from the menorah, and you can also say that the menorah is like the body and the light is the soul. And this has to be lit up with only the purest oil. Because otherwise, it's not going to light for always. Le'alot ner tamid. Am Israel goes through generations and generations. We went through hell, torture, Holocaust, the Spanish Inquisition, pogroms,
Crusade.
It's unbelievable to look at it. And this brings me back to Poznan. When I've been there, I realized, looking to where we can go, because it was very interesting, the furniture of the exhibition, but it was nothing like China and nothing like Germany. It was much smaller, so one day was enough to go around the whole exhibition, and then another day to have a few talks, but it didn't need any more. And the problem was that the flight was going there on Sunday, coming back on Thursday. Mm-hmm. That was the only direct flight. So we were looking at where can we go to see something that is connected to us, to Am Israel. No? We found out that the first place where they killed people with gas was in Poznan. It was a fortress. It's called what is it called? Something, I don't remember the name. Anyway, we went there. It was like 10 minutes from the hotel. And it's unbelievable how to preserve the place. They preserve the place and they redoing half of it. And this was the first place. And it's very logical because this is really near Germany. And in Poznan were for, I think, 100 or 200 years, the Germans were ruling Poznan. Like there was a whole argument if it is a part of Germany, if it's a part of Poland. And ever they play the game that they don't like the German because they occupy them. And it's unbelievable to, you know, when we hear about it, I never had the idea to go to Poland to see it because I'm quite against it, to give them parnosa and to make a whole thing from what they did to us. But I must say, I've been there, so seeing it with your own eyes, the place, standing there where they burned us and they gassed us, it is quite an experience. It's shocking to realize it. One of the funny things was that they had those bushes outside that had blackberries.
Mm-hmm.
Blackberries, all of them. I don't know if it's intentionally or it just grows there because
naturally
from God. And then I found out that they started there to do the experiments with the gas, not only on Jews, on ill people, on
crazy
people. And the unbelievable thing was that after doing the experiment with all the sick people, men, women, and children, they also took the medical crew and killed them also with the gas.
Oh.
And then you realize this satanical machine, those not animals that are worse than animals.
Of course, animals doesn't.
And you ask yourself, how is it that we are still here? This is why we're here, Ner Tamid. Only because of the pure oil that goes through generation to generation and keeps us alive forever. Nobody can touch us as long as we pass the message in the purest way there is. And I'm saying it in the purest way because the minute that we start playing around with it, trouble starts. Because you know, why are Am Yisrael like olive oil? Because in order to take out the oil of the olive, you know what you have to do?
Kvetch.
You have to quetch it, you have to break it, you have to crush it, and only then comes the oil. The same way, unfortunately, as it happens with our nation. Also, the leaves of the olive tree don't fall down the whole year. They're there for the whole year, winter and summer. Not like other trees that
shed the leaves.
Yes. So, another interesting thing with oil is that you can mix it and put it out, but
it never mixes
and always goes up. Whatever you do, it's always on top. And this is an unbelievable understanding that when we read the Bible and we see those things and you start to understand what is Ve'atatetzave, what is this pure oil and why is it here? We start to understand. Because before we go on with the job, you have to understand that to build a Mishkan to God, to build a temple to God, can be done only with the purest intentions. That's why in the middle of everything, the Torah stops and tells us how to light the menorah. And the menorah is the symbol of this idea. Then, it's written, Ve'ata akrev elecha et Aaron achicha ve'et banav ito. Again, ata, perek hafchet pasuk aleph. Ito, mitoch b'nei Yisrael lecha anoli. What is mitoch b'nei Yisrael?
From the midst of Israel.
We don't know where Aaron, his brother, and his children are. What's the meaning? What the Torah is trying to tell us? Mitoch bnei Yisrael?
He's one of the people?
Yes. The Torah wants to tell us that in order to be a good leader, you have to come from the people. You have to know the people. And this exactly was the right time for Moshe to bring Aaron, his brother, in. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe at that time, now, is so high that maybe he cannot do this job by himself because he is not connected the same way as Aaron and his children are, because they are from the people. And the lesson is that when you want a leader, you need a leader not that comes from outside, a leader that comes from the people, that understands what they talk about and what it's all about. Because otherwise, you cannot lead. They say, Shmuel bedoro, Yiftach bedoro, keshmuel bedoro. Yiftach wasn't a very great tzaddik. And they compare it to Shmuel, which was Shmuel, Moshe v'Aaron bekohanav, Shmuel bekorei shmo. Shmuel, what at the highest level that can be? And they compare it to who? To Yiftach? That's exactly the point. Every generation's got his leaders. And Shmuel HaNavi cannot be a leader at the time of Yiftach. The same way as Yiftach cannot be a leader in the time of Shmuel. And Moshe Rabbeinu definitely cannot be a leader in our times. Because it means that we have to adjust ourselves to that level, which is unbelievable. And we'll see that when the golden calf is being made, Kodesh Baruch Hu tells him, "Red, kishichet amcha, go down." So the normal explanation is go down from the mountain, but the real thing is go down from your position, from your level. You're not at the same level because the people sin and they lower the level and you are going down with them. This is a leader that is connected to the people. For good or for wealth. And that's the idea. Not a leader that looks after his own interest and doesn't care about the people as long as he can take the chair with him. As unfortunately,
that's what we're living with.
We're living it now. And we hope and pray that maybe they read the parsha and get a little sense into them. and really to understand who really Moshe Rabbeinu is. Why is the Torah telling that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Am Yisrael that they will take the pure oil to who? To Moshe Rabbeinu. Who is lighting the menorah?
Aaron.
So why shouldn't they give it to Aaron? Why give it to Moshe? What's the Torah trying to tell us? You can tell him, Vata, Tzavim Yisrael, V'yikhu el Aaron et Hashem Enzai, because Aaron is the one, as we see in the end of the Parsha, U'be'alot Aaron et Hanerot.
He should share in the mitzvah. Work that way.
If we want to understand what is love, we have to see what the Torah is writing about Moshe and Aaron. And it's written in Tehillim, Shira Ma'alot LeDavid. Ine matov u'manaim. Everybody knows
Shevet Amim Bayah.
Ine matov u'manaim. Shevet Achim Gam Yachad. What are we talking about here?
Shevet Achim.
Brothers.
Keshemen atov al arosh, like the good oil on the head, yarad al hazakan, goes down on the beard, zkan Aaron, the beard of Aaron, sheyored al pimud, the long beard, ketal chermon sheyored al arosh, like the tal on the chermon that goes. Unbelievable description. What's happening here? Says the Rav Shvadron, why is it written hazakan zkan Aaron, the beard of Aaron? Twice hazakan. Zkan Aaron is enough. It says what we are reading here is the first zakan is the zakan of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the second one is of Aaron. And what does it mean? Says the Midrash. The Gemara says, "Ve'al davar ze haya Moshe doeg." And on that thing, Moshe Rabbeinu was very concerned. He was worried. What? Shema chas v'shalom says, I'm afraid. Ma'alti b'shemen ha-mishcha. I did wrong with the oil, which is a holy oil, and nobody else is allowed to touch it, only the one that you put it on him, which is in this case Aaron. What does it mean? But he didn't spill it on him, he spilled it on Aaron.
So how it's...
Ve'adayin haya Aaron doeg, shema Moshe lomal, and Aaron also was worried. Maybe Moshe didn't do anything wrong, but I did. Yatzta bat kol ve'amra, ine matov u'manaim, shevet achim gam yachad. And what is the explanation? When Moshe Rabbeinu put the oil on Aaron, and it was going down on the spirit, he felt that it's going down on his spirit. They were so close. It's like twins sometimes feel, even if they are at the two sides of the world, they feel certain things at the same time. Mm-hmm. Really? And here, unbelievable. He is putting the oil on the beard of Aaron, but it feels like it's dropping on him. They were so close. To feel what your brother feels, that's the highest level of love. To be a part of a community is to feel the people. Be happy with them. Be sad with them. Feel what's happening around you. That they are a part of you. That's love. That's what God wants us to do. And this is the attack, revelecha. And this is the Ner Tamid. The power of Am Yisrael is together, to be together. And we have to learn this, because this is crucial. What is Haman HaRasha saying in the Megillah? Yeshno Am Echad Mefuzar Umeforad Ben Amim Bechol Medinot Malchutecha Vedateem Shenot Mikol Am. Says Haman HaRasha, there is one nation, one people. They are spread all over. What? If they spread over, they're not one. But they are one, because they believe in the one God, and they believe in the same thing, and they do the same thing. V'datehem shonot mikol am. Their religion is different from all the others. And this is unique. Because, you know, normally when a nation takes a place, you give it a few years, and they all become the same. They mingle together.
Assimilation,
yes. Unfortunately, it happens also with us, but not with everybody, Baruch Hashem. And Haman, it killed him. Yeshno Am Echad.
Couldn't get everything.
It doesn't, whatever I do, whatever I try, they stay with their own way. I cannot change them. So what was the problem? Why Haman and Rasha started with us? Because nehenu misu'udato shel oto Rasha. They enjoyed the feast of Achashverosh.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the problem? They say it was kosher lemehadri. Yeah, it was kosher. It's really kedat kol isha shel kedat. It's like everybody got what he can eat. What he can eat, what he can drink. They say that the Mashgiach was Mordechai. That was him, yeah. Everything was kosher. If you read the Megillah, and you see that in the beginning of the Megillah, he's doing this feast, the Mishteh. V'ashtiyah kadat en ones. The shtiyah is kadat en ones. Nobody's forcing you to do anything. And everybody's getting, like the Persian get their own thing, the Arab get their own thing. Everybody got his own food, made the way he's going to eat it, because he wanted everybody to be a part of it. So what's the problem?
The kilim were from the Beit HaMikdash.
That's the only problem?
The community upset.
The problem was, again, nehenu misu'udato shel oto Rasha.
They were happy to be there.
So you could go there, you could go there, you could eat, but to be a part of this party? To be happy? To be joyful? Do you know and for a minute and think what kind of a party it was?
Like orgy. It was an orgy.
He was calling the queen to come naked.
Yeah.
And you sitting there enjoying it?
And drinking.
Is using the vessels of Beis HaMikdash. Is wearing the clothes of what is written in our parsha of Kohen Gadol. And you sit there as a Jew and enjoy it? Okay, the king invited you. You have to honor him and to come to the feast. Eat and go. But to stay there and enjoy it? Nehenu misu'udato shel oto Rasha. This is a part of the idea that you cannot be split half-half. You have to be whole. In other words, you cannot be half Jew and half Goy. As we said in Moshe Rabbeinu, when he killed the Egyptian, Vayabet Kovacho, Vayar Kianish, he looked here and there, and he saw there is nobody. What's the meaning of nobody? He says, from one side, I am Egyptian. From the other side, I am Jewish. Now I've got this case in front of me. This Egyptian is hitting the Jew. Now I have to decide, who am I? I cannot be half-half. I have to decide who I am.
And
he decided and killed the Egyptian and buried him in. In other words, he killed the Egyptian inside him and buried him. And from this moment, Moshe Rabbeinu is 100% Jew. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes.
But Haman, Rasha, he said he saw that the Jews are enjoying the feast. Right?
Yes.
So she called, oh, okay, now I managed to convince them. Okay, now they are like us. So why still he want to go till the end?
Why did Hitler... This is Amalek. You're forgetting for a minute the Amalek. What did Hitler, Yimach Shimo,
changed the Jews finally. He changed it. They come to the feast, they enjoy.
He thought it.
And what did Hitler do? Hitler killed third generation.
I know.
Not even Jewish according to the halacha.
Yeah, I know.
Why? They were a part of the Jewish, of the German nation.
Yeah, they were, more than even the Jews were, who enjoyed
they were intelligent,
of course.
They were scientists, they were doctors, they were lawyers,
the
they were
generals of the army,
they were soldiers, they were
cream.
They were the cream de la cream of the German society.
Yeah.
So, what was the problem? The same here and the same there.
Of course.
When we start mingle, what did we say with the oil? You can try.
But you
to mix it,
together. Yeah.
But it cannot stick. Mm-hmm. So it can go up in a good way, and unfortunately it can go up in a bad way. Here we were saved with Haman and Russia.
Yeah.
But why was it decided in heaven that we are going to be killed? Because we enjoyed life. We were, like, if you think that you can be at the day a Jew, and at night, you can be like telling about this Yeshiva Bocher. They call his father, telling your son, we've got a problem with your son. So what problem have you got? He's a great scholar. He learns unbelievably. He's an Ilui. But you know, at night, he closes the Gemara and goes to disco. So, what's the problem? The day is a tzaddik, and at night is a rasha. Cannot be like this. It doesn't work. Doesn't work. And that's exactly it. You cannot, like, they were looking, thinking to yourself, okay, it's kosher. So what's the problem? You know, I told you a few times ago that I once was invited to a bar mitzvah of a neighbor. And bar mitzvah, yes? You know what a bar mitzvah is?
Party.
A party for what? No, that's not, bar mitzvah is not a party.
No, 13
bar mitzvah years. Is when the child becomes a grown up and he has the duties as a grown up to keep the mitzvahs.
Yeah.
Bar mitzvah.
Okay.
So you would think that a thing like this should be a holy party.
Yeah.
And this party was so far from holy. The food was kosher, yes. Kosher lemahadri, no problem. But then, the bar mitzvah was entering the hall carried by half-naked dancers. I know it's not a joke, but it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
We were at a bar mitzvah once, and
unbelievable.
After the dinner, these dancers came in, and we left.
This was in the middle of the dinner.
Okay, so the middle of the dinner.
Till now, I am saying Ashamnu Bagadnu that I didn't leave the place at that moment.
Uh-huh.
I had somebody else sitting with us that the minute that they went in, he just left the place and went.
When you?
What?
There must be a terrible boy.
No. When it happened, they just walked away. Okay. But you see, that's exactly the point. And you realize, what is Ne'enu Misudato Shel Oto Rasha? You have to understand that if you're connected to God, you cannot connect yourself to those things.
Pastness.
It's pastness, yeah. You cannot be a scholar in the morning and a villain in the evening. You cannot be a tzaddik in the day and a rasha at night. Doesn't go together.
Maybe he was going to discos to
get... Yes, he was. He bring me tshuva, yes. I'm thinking about another rabbi, but never mind, I'm not going to go into it.
he would go to all the discos at night.
Is this rabbi? They find out there's not even a rabbi, but I'm not going to go into it.
To put the filim in the women's.
Yes.
You're not dancing.
So, Purim is really about taking us all together. Because the power of our nation is when we are together. So if you look at the mitzvahs of Purim, first of all, the mitzvahs of Purim is to show us that miracles are a part of nature. Because this is one of the interesting alochot of the Megillah. You're not allowed to read the Megillah lemafreya. What is lemafreya? You're not allowed to read the Megillah from the end to the beginning, or to read the second chapter, then the first one, or the fourth one. You have to read it from the beginning to the end. It's a very interesting aloha, because first of all, who would think about reading the Megillah from the end to the beginning?
That's what I was just going to ask. Yeah. Who would do?
So it's a very strange aloha. But the idea is very simple. You see, when we look at a certain point in time, we see a small picture. And we can translate it to a lot of things. But we don't see the whole picture. So we really don't know what it's all about. You see, if we think you know how many years it was going on, this Megillah thing? It wasn't 1 or 2 years. It was, I think, 12 or 13 years. I don't remember. I still look in the Megillah, it's written there. So in other words, imagine to yourself, 1 year, the king does this feast, kills Vashti. Then a few years later, he finds another wife. Then a few years later is this guy which is a relative of this wife, this new wife, the queen, and he hears somebody, two guards talking in a strange language which he understands because he is a member of the Sanhedrin. And then a few years pass and this Haman is now a great guy. You know, it's like a story, of a historical story. And if you don't connect all those things together, you don't really realize what's going on here. Only when you read the whole thing, you understand that everything is a plan from God. That one thing leads to the next thing. But if you don't read the Megillah this way and put it all together, you don't see the miracle.
There are many people who read from the beginning to the end and still don't see the miracle.
I didn't know that it was 30 years, more or less.
13.
13.
13.
13. 12 or 13. I don't remember exactly. I have to check it in the Megillah. It's written in the Megillah.
Ah, it's written.
It's very clear. It's very clear written.
It's the first.
So, this is the idea of Purim, to understand that miracles are a part of our life. That's again why we put it Al HaNisim in Modim. Because everything around us is a miracle. But unfortunately, we don't see it. It's like the Gulf War, if we remember what happened there. If you go back to Rav Levenstein, he brings a whole unbelievable drosha about this. He says, if we go back in history, we'll find out that there was a revolution in Russia, and the communists took the country. Then there was the Cold War between the Soviet Union and the United States. Then suddenly, after 70 years, the Soviet Union, the communism is breaking down. And then this guy from Iraq wants us to kill us. Then he decides to go and take the oil from Kuwait or Saudi. And then the Americans go in and fight him, and we sit and do nothing. It looks like an interesting story, but if we start to understand what's going on here, you know, the weapons they use are the weapons that they've developed during the years of the Cold War. In other words, if there was no Cold War, those weapons were not in existence. And then, if the Soviet Union, the communists, were still in Russia, the Americans couldn't go into Iraq because they were allies of the Soviet Union. So only because it broke down 2 or 3 years before, the Americans could go in. So you tell me it's not from God. What happened? Suddenly it gets up. Suddenly it goes down. Suddenly this guy tries to do this. This is Amalek asher karcha baderech. He says everything is accident, everything is by mistake, everything is nature. That's why it's Parashat Zachor. Asher karcha baderech. That's what Amalek is saying. It's nature. And this is our fight. Yes, it is nature, but it is God. Because God is nature. Nothing is by accident.
God's not mentioned in the Megillah.
For the same reason. Exactly. God is not mentioned in the whole Megillah. What is Megillat Esther? Aster Astir Panai. That's Megillat Esther. That's the idea of Purim. To understand and real now, how do we do this thing? Look how beautiful it is. It's to understand that everything is from the nature, that everything is a miracle, and in order to be saved from nature, we have to be together with the light of the menorah. And it can be only from the purest oil. Otherwise, it doesn't work. So what do we have in Purim? First of all, we read the Megillah in order to legalot the Esther, to discover what is hidden in the Megillah, and to see the big miracle. Then, what did they do in order to change things? All the Jews went together and prayed to God. They did tshuva, they fasted. What Esther did? What did Esther say? Gather all the Jews together, and you will fast on me for 3 days, and then I'll go to the king. And God heard our cries, God heard our prayers, and saved us from this Haman Arasha. And v'nahafochu. And all the mitzvahs of Purim now out in order to get us close. Matanot la'evyonim, matanot ish le're'ehu, seudat Purim. By the way, it's a very interesting thing. There is a big difference between Chanukah and Purim. Chanukah is only the spiritual side. Purim is the physical side. As we all say, we have to connect those both. Because in Purim, all the mitzvahs are physical mitzvahs. Matanot, eating. By the way, eating. What is eating? What is this Seudat Purim? This, the main thing of Purim is Seudat Purim. What is so important about Seudat Purim? Because when do you feel the connection to God?
You need to get
there. When you eat. When you are hungry and thirsty, you feel that you've got no power. Then when you eat, you feel the power. That's when you feel that God gives you everything. This is the connection between the physical side and the spiritual side. This is the menorah, the body of the menorah with the light of the menorah. This is what we have to remember when we are going to read Zachor et asher asah lecha Amalek on Shabbos. Remember this Amalek. It is the same Amalek every generation. It was the Nazi Amalek, it was the Inquisition Amalek. They all go against God. They all go against the truth. But when we will learn Ve'ata akrev alecha et aron achicha, matovu alecha Yaakov mishkenotecha Yisrael, ine matovu manaim shevet achim gam yachad. If we learn to be so close to each other, to feel each other, like Moshe and Aaron, then, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will have a memshala, and we'll have also the geula, Be'ezrat Hashem, b'mehra bi'ameinu, amen.
Amen.